It's Memorial Day weekend. Please take time to remember our war dead. They made the ultimate sacrifice so that we can be free.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com. And with support from ADM, looking to nature for discoveries in food, feed, and fuel. ADM, resourceful by nature.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Today we'll take up the cash market and discuss just how to play the storage game. Our panelists today are Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities out of Champaign, Illinois, Brian Maple of F.C. Stone & Company in Indianapolis, Indiana, and Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Everybody saw the Informa numbers. Right. So let's start off with those Informa numbers. So the Informa numbers came out this week, and I'd like to start with that this week. Informa numbers from Informa at 79.8 million acres of corn, 149 bushels the acre. Their carryover was a 144 USDA, of course, at 78, 149, and a 1.14 billion bushel carryover for the corn. The beans, Informa, 75.3 million acre planted acreage. The bushels at 40.7 to the acre, 590 million acre carry out from Informa USDA, of course, at 650. Their bushels the acre are the same, and they were at 76.9, so Informa at 75.3 on the beans, lower than USDA's 76.9. Anybody have arguments with those kind
would
of numbers?
Would you say their carryover was in the beans?
Their carryover in the beans is 590.
Hmm. For this year?
For this year from Informa. So what do we think about that number?
06, 07.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's probably benchmark start from day one, because basically USDA is probably out of whack the first time on the March report. And talking to producers across the Midwest, I think they were a little heavier corn and maybe a little lighter beans. But the big thing is probably the weather from here on out, because the yield is going to move the bottom line more than these acres will.
Yeah, and that's Kirk Kimmel, of course, from Grainfield Marketing. Brian Maples with us from F.C. Stone & Company. He's out of Indianapolis, Indiana. Brian, did you get a chance to read Chris Hertz's Dine and Diner article this week that came out in the Weekly Outlook? Did you see that? That was kind of an interesting article. Chris wrote an article about how corn was used and how much has been fed to the animal industry over the years. In the 60s, 80% of the crop fed. In the 70s, that number dropped. USDA now predicting just 51%, and most of that's coming from the ethanol usage. And I thought the one thing that was interesting out of that set, and I talked to Chris this past week, was that he thinks that the ethanol boon will be akin to the export boon that happened in the 70s, and that's the kind of jump we're really looking at long term. Would you compare it to the same thing?
Yeah, I think we're already seeing that right now, that we're projecting 550 million bushel increase in corn ethanol use for this next year, and there's some people even upwards in the area of 750, and Indiana is part of that, because we're going to go, our governor wants to go to 600 million gallons, which is going to be roughly 200 million bushels that we'll have to try and get that job done. And we do have an issue in Indiana on how we're going to feed the livestock. So acres are going to have to grow in Indiana, and I think they're already growing.
Well, that's kind of an interesting concept. I didn't realize that the governor wanted to push acreage up so that you could keep the livestock in the state of Indiana, because it's so important to that state.
He's trying to push livestock industry, too. He'd like to see our hog industry grow sizably in Indiana, which I'm not sure he fully understands the ramifications of that with the odors that are going to come about with that. But yeah. But he's pushing totally to try and get agricultural growth through the state of Indiana.
And do you think the urban population will go along with that?
The livestock growth
will
be an issue, I think. I think we will see an issue in trying to get the livestock growth to take place. But we're going to need some cattle or something to take care of the dry distillers. Either that or the ethanol industry is going to have to find a way to deal with the dry distillers, because 600 million gallons of ethanol of ethanol is going to produce about 34,000 tons of dry distillers a week. And today we produce about 75,000, 76,000 tons of meal a week. So all of a sudden, we've added that much more protein source to our marketplace, and we don't have a cattle industry in our state.
You don't have a cattle industry in the state, and the hogs and the poultry really can't eat it at that high of ratio. I talked to a few folks over the last week after I made a comment a week ago on Commodity Week that suggested that hogs and poultry didn't do too good a job. I think I probably said they didn't do it at all, but they do. I think as much 15%, about 15%. But you can't really replace that much in those rations with the DGGs. So the livestock industry is going to be faced with a serious problem because the DGGs on the hog and the poultry side are going to be really cheap, but they can't feed them efficiently. And they're going to be fighting with the ethanol industry or the fuel industry for these bushels of corn. So I guess the question really is, have you thought about or talked to livestock producers to see what they're thinking about locking in prices or how they're going to manage their prices for corn and for the protein side of this? Have you discussed this at all with livestock producers?
Not very much, because most of the possible squeeze that you're looking at, I think, is further down the road, unless, of course, we have a crop problem this summer. But it kind of highlights that whole discussion that you're just talking about, highlights how much uncertainty we're looking at right now. I mean, the whole table's kind of been turned upside down as far as the relationships between all the different commodities, whether it's meal versus oil and beans versus corn. And it just makes it really hard to look beyond a six-month window down the road, it seems like, as far as any of the demand numbers in the balance sheets.
That's Clayton Pope, of course, of Clayton Pope Commodities. Okay, let's take a look at some of the numbers as they came in from the board this week. Futures in the corn pit, July contract at 257.5, high, the low at 247.5. Their settlement price at $2.54. They were up a penny and a quarter. December contract at 279. They were up 1.75. July wheat, 433, the high, the low at 404.5. Their settlement price at 415.5, off 3/4 for the week. SEPs at 429. They were down 0.5 cent for the week. Is the wheat still the leader in this marketplace after this week? Do you think so, Clayton, or not?
I kind of think not. It seems like the uncertainty is passing on the yields on the crop. I mean, there's still some sensitivity as far as hard red winter wheat yields out west, and this weekend I think will be somewhat important for that, but I think it's waning in its importance, the weather that is, and I think the focus is quickly moving to the corn markets. So in my opinion, I think that the corn market is rapidly, if not already, the leader of the floor.
It's the leader. It was kind of an interesting week because it's a short week. It was really a slow week at the end of the week. Can the corn market come back next week, or are we headed for the seasonal trend down, do you think?
I sure think it can come back. It's interesting that the funds in this last week have bought just an awesome amount of corn. They've increased their longs once again. As such, I mean, the commitment traders numbers that we got Friday afternoon are, of course, dated already because it's as of Tuesday's close, and you have to think with the surge that we saw at the end of the week that they probably increased their longs considerably from those numbers. So we've seen time and time again in the last couple of months a reluctance on the fund's part to really unload their longs, and I don't know what would make them change all of a sudden. I mean, we're going to get periodic setbacks like this last Monday. We opened somewhat sharply lower, but the market did recover as the week wore on. But like you just said, it was pretty much a sideways week once all was said and done and the dust settled. But I think price direction in the near term is really up for grabs right now.
Brian, weren't you the one that told me that the cash market is really the place where things are really unusual at this point, and you really have to think about how you're going to market your crop and what the elevators are going to do and what the farmer needs to think about?
Especially in light of this falls type stuff, because you're looking at what I think could be some unusually wide basis levels this fall, as you've got all three commodities with roughly a 600 million roughly 600 million bushel carryout on beans, wheat values in Toledo going to 65 under this week. Wheat's going to buy itself into space, so we're going to be forced to store wheat, or we're going to be losing money on wheat at our elevator positions. So we're going to carry wheat. We're going to carry beans, and we're going to have corn fighting for that same space. So all of a sudden, people that are thinking we should see better basis levels this fall, I think, are going to be crazy. I think you're going to end up being just as bad as we were last year, even if we don't have a hurricane issue to deal with.
Well, what the devil do you do about that? If you're a farmer and in the Midwest, you've got a lot of corn and beans that have got to go to the market. You probably have your bins full at the moment, and the elevator's full and likely to stay that way, I would think.
It's all about space.
I think you go ahead and move it now while the basis is still wide, but it's better than what it can be later on this fall. And corn and beans, I've heard wheat basis as much as a dollar, and I wouldn't want to mess with that just right now. But I'd move it and transfer it to paper. If we have a big rally, it's going to be on paper. The commodity fund's not going to come out in your farm and buy your corn and beans from you. They're going to buy paper, and that's what's going to be go. So I think from a money management situation, if you're going to be faced with storage situation, maybe go ahead and move a little bit here and re-own it sometime.
You agree with that? I mean, well,
at least what you have to move at harvest time.
Yeah, it's
on
all
a normal crop.
It's all about space. Explain that comment.
Well, I think we're to a point where elevators and farmers all need to look at building space, because I think that we're going to see over the next 10 to 15 years a transgression. If ethanol continues to be the way and these guys that are trying to fight ethanol don't win this battle and ethanol continues to grow, we're going to need more space to handle the bushels of corn. So a farmer goes out and contracts to build a little bit more space. Elevators certainly are going to build more space, because we should see, until we have a crop failure, good carries in the marketplace, both in basis levels and in board carries, I think, continue until we have crop problems.
So it's all about having crop available to sell at that time, but it is going to be at a later time than the fall, because it's a continuous 24/7 usage that they grind right through that crop.
And the ethanol plant is not going to build the space. So he's going to have somebody else with the space out here, so there'll be opportunities to get good return to space.
That's interesting. I talked to Chris Hertigan, mentioned in our conversation that he thought temporary storage actually may be a possibility for producers this fall. His comment was something like this, that he thought maybe that by the time we got to next spring, they needed 150% of their crop around so that they would have some of this year's crop, this current year's crop plus the coming crop available to take advantage of the carry in the market. And to market next spring. Anybody have any problems with that potential?
No, I don't at all. I think, you know, mercilessly as people were burned last fall, it doesn't take too long to get the message that they're either going to have to build on-farm storage like these guys were just saying, or roll the dice and take their chances on some kind of temporary storage. But it's just suicide economically, it seems like, to be forced to dump it at the distressed fall basis levels.
Okay, so Kurt talked about converting it over to paper. Is that what you end up doing? How do you go about it? If you've got the cash, you've got it stored on your farm, how are you going to protect it? I mean, what do we do with that crop that we put on the ground or in the bin and we're going to hold? Are you going to protect it in some way?
I mean, you can always use the tools we've talked about, you know, hedge to arrive, using July futures or something
like that.
Yeah, that
sounds like a dangerous thing to people, doesn't it, the HTAs?
Well, HTAs got a bad rap because of what happened back in 96, but you got to remember that the hedge to arrive problems that cropped up from that year were because of really sort of a misuse or an abuse of the tool. I mean, people were hedged to arriving in a different crop year. I think as long as you're using it in the proper crop year, in the same crop year, if your hedge is placed in the same crop year that the physical growth is occurring, it's not that dangerous. I mean, not playing that intercrop year spread. So, I mean, you're still subject to the risk of a falling basis, but with harvest levels as bad as they're probably going to be, I don't see that as a very risky proposition. Obviously, you still have the flat price risk.
You need to read your hedge to arrive contracts real close. I ran across a case where a guy did a hedge to arrive, and the elevator would margin the first 50 cents. After that, the producer has to write the check. Now, I've just heard this one situation, and I would not be surprised. Elevators going this way, in case we do get an explosive rally, they have some cash to make margin calls.
We've definitely got issues on the elevator side, because now we've not only got probably as large or larger book on for this fall to what we had a year ago, but you've also got 07 and 08 bushels on the books, that where if this thing does end up having a drought this year, this thing turns wild, and we've got elevators having a struggle to try and meet their margin calls with us on a daily basis, because we could get into a really problem with them just finding the financing to fund their margin calls out here. And what I'm seeing is charging for the HTAs or anything 07 or 08, they're actually starting to charge for them as much as 5 cents for an 07. And if you figure just the interest on your margin money, you're looking at 2.5-3 cents.
We'll return in just a second, and we'll take up more on this marketplace and the soybeans.
Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu. Click on AM and then on Agriculture.
All I'm Todd Gleason. This is Commodity Week, and we're taking up the conversation without a guest this week. In the studio, we've got Brian Maple of F.C. Stone & Company out of Indianapolis, Indiana, and Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois, and Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities out of Champaign, Illinois, is here with us as well. Let's take a look at the soybean market very quickly, gentlemen. July this week had a high of 5.91, the low there at $5.80. Beans at 5.82.5 in the July contract. We're off 4.5 from last week. The Novi's at 6.08, finished down 2.75 for the week. In the bean market, have we finished this up? Is it all up, all done? Everybody decided it's finished and it's gone for the day, or we still got some place yet to go?
Well, we still have June 1st buying from the index funds that could be there this next week. I think that'll be interesting after taking a pretty good hit in the gold market this week. Energy's tried to come back just a little bit here late in the week, but you know, to me, the fundamentals still are overbearingly to the downside, and I don't see the spec willing to come out here and build a long position in the beans. So I think rallies are made to be sold in the bean complex, and with the carryouts we've got, it leans towards a move back down to the 525 to 550 area to me, if not lower, if this crop comes in good this year.
Everybody agree?
Well, into this fall, I agree, but after that, you need to be a buyer, because if you look at 07, 08, you're going to buy millions and millions of acres of corn, millions and millions of acres of wheat, and I think we're going to be shocked a year or two from now at the acres of beans we have here in the U.S.
You're shaking your head, Brian, in agreement, I suppose.
Totally agree, because you got issues, and we've got to resolve the issues in South America, which are certainly issues right now. It's been helped this week by the real getting, I think the real was down 7% or something like that for the week, so that might help draw some of those acres back. But if we don't see the expansion down there, when we start to lose acres to wheat and corn up here in the U.S., beans are going to go higher for the next couple of years after that.
But yeah, guesses on how many acres we'll lose, and I suppose you could either put it in terms of we've got 78 million supposedly from USDA this year, could be 80, I suppose. How many acres do you think of corn we could plant if in the following years, 07, 08 years, and what would the bean acreage look like?
I'm going 83 to 84 on corn next year myself.
I think you could probably, you know, it depends where the price is. $3 corn or the sniff of $3 corn, you can pick up probably an extra 6 million acres of corn and probably, you know, 3.5 million acres of wheat in the east.
There's not any reason really to worry about the corn dropping out of bed if we do that, is there, because of the ethanol usage?
Well, from higher levels, yes, but from this level, you can raise the floor a little
bit. Yeah, I guess you're talking $3 futures or are you talking $3 cash?
When you look at 07 at 315 and 08, you know, pushing 330, I think that's kind of pricey for what we know and where we're at right now.
Well, I think, like Kurt said in the beginning of the show, ultimately it comes down to yield. I mean, if we come up with a yield like we had back in 2004, you know, and let's say Informa was right on their acreage numbers, and you know, maybe we're, you know, pushing 80 million acres planted this year. Then, yeah, I think prices do have considerable downside risk. It's certainly possible in the short run. In the long run, I agree. On paper, the growth curve and the ethanol usage does just seem kind of mind-boggling. But we have every reason to expect yields to improve, and you know, over the next 3 to 5 years as well. So it looks very rosy, I think, as far as the demand side goes. But you know, we've operated very well with carryovers of, you know, 800 million up to 1.5 billion in many years have proven to be considered adequate by the marketplace, and we could very easily maintain a carryover of at least that much, it seems like to me.
I was going back through some numbers this week with Dale Latz with the FBFM, that's the Farm Business Farm Management Unit at the University of Illinois, and he was running through some of the numbers from last year on farm income, and I'm going to throw these out just arbitrarily. In 2004, what you mentioned was rosy. Farm income across the state of Illinois was something close to $79,000. That's what their salary is. Now, they use a lot of extra numbers that probably aren't really reflective, but that would be what might show up on the average farmer's W-2. Last year, that number was $39,000 for 2005. And that's still right close to the rolling five-year average, including that big number from the previous year. But I'm wondering, given the higher price of grain, the idea that countercyclical payments won't be there, that the LDP might not be around, do we really put the farmer, I mean, do we put them in a much bigger bind than really we're looking at? We're talking about nice prices for the
relatively
grain.
Lower basis.
Yeah,
too.
And the basis is relatively lower, or wider at this point, 35 cents or something like that. Could they be in a big bind by the time we get to, you know, spring of next year?
Well, two things. One is bushels. You know, that has a big part. And two, that forces them to be a seller at higher levels so they don't get caught selling at lower levels. So those would be the two main things to look at.
Makes them think about risk management, in other words. They've got to start thinking about the risk management procedures and how they want to handle their farm if Uncle Sam's not there to back them up.
Yeah, I think the headline numbers that you see on these corn prices and so forth can really be deceiving. The general public is probably on the of the opinion that, boy, good times are here for the farm again. But for all those reasons you just mentioned, it's marketing is just absolutely more critical than ever now because there's just we sort of worked our way out of the safety nets that were there with the farm bill, and there's just really no room for mistakes in marketing now.
It's a bottom line for me, your opinion on the bean market, and we'll go across the board, and then we'll catch the same thing on the corn market, too. You can do both at the same time. We'll start with you, Clayton.
I would expect the bean market to stay on the defensive, as it has been in the last really several months, but I don't really see the bottom falling out unless we do get some weakness in the corn and the wheat markets. I just think that ratio has come down to, depending on which crop you're looking at, something like 2.1 to 2.25 to 1, maybe, beans to corn. I think we're going to have a tough time getting that ratio during the growing season to dip below, say, 2-1. And that being the case, I think to get real dramatic weakness, you're going to have D's corn go sub 250.
And Clayton Pope, of course, with Clayton Pope Commodities out of Champaign, Illinois. Kurt Kimmel?
I don't like the bean market here over the near term. I think we're vulnerable to some downdrafting in here. I think you got to be kind of negative or cautious to the bean complex. I think it's going to take a rust fear up in the upper Midwest or some type of weather scenario to really get the public to step in to buy it to push it sharply higher. So I like moving the cash beans and buying some cheap calls just in case we get something going during the summer.
And Brian Maple of F.C. Stone & Company.
I'd agree with that totally. I think that the bean market is going to struggle to find any kind of sizable buyers to get a good rally going. Like Clayton says, it may be hard for the bottom to fall out with corn hanging in here the way it is. But ultimately, I think the bean price with these carryouts and an expected bigger carryout next year, you're looking at lower price levels down the road.
Gentlemen, thanks much for joining us this week. That wraps up this week's edition of Commodity Week. Something to keep in mind, you can access this Commodity Week program and analysis throughout the week on demand on your computer. Our site on the World Wide Web is WILL.UIUC.edu. Just click on AM. And then agriculture. There you'll find Commodity Week, the weekly analysis, cash grain reports, the weather features, and interviews with agricultural newsmakers.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com. And with support from ADM, looking to nature for discoveries in food, feed, and fuel. ADM, resourceful by nature.